Wang Dadorje and Sherin Chodin have four young children. They live in a two-bedroom apartment in one of Thimphu's new high-rise buildings. The eldest daughter is helping Sherin to tidy the house, while the other children play tag in the tiny living room. The TV is on and the flat is spotless. They seem like a model family, but their lives have been far from ordinary. For the last few years, they've been the public face of HIV and AIDS in Bhutan. It all started in 2006, when Sherin was pregnant with her second child. She and Wangda had been to the hospital that morning for some routine blood tests. On their way home, they received a phone call from the hospital.
Both of us were called to the hospital. That time there was a sister and a counsellor. We were called into a room. There were two chairs. They were trying to give us a hint.
And for some time, you know, they actually looked at each other as if they are, you know, too much with pain to, you know, say something, you know, to us. And then suddenly, you know, the male counsellor told if my wife can go outside. Since she is a woman, the heart of the women are quite fragile than the men, and she was sent outside.
At that time, I was very surprised. I was shocked. I didn't know what to say. And then at that point of time, I thought it could be my husband and not me.
When she was sent outside, then the counselor told me that the HIV virus is very active in your body and also in your wife's body. I couldn't speak a word for some time. Yeah, completely lost. Then, you know, finally, the only thing that came to my mouth was distrust on my wife. I suspected my wife. I asked the counselor, who was the first person that got, you know, the HIV infection? Then the counselor told me that by looking at the body immunity level, it looks that you are infected much more before your wife. Then I started feeling guilty. I might have caught HIV through sharing needles, because from 1998 until 2003, I've been intensively using injecting drug use with my friends. Then suddenly they called my wife to the room. I couldn't look directly at my wife's face. The counselor told my wife also that the HIV virus is active in your body also, like in your husband's body. Then she was quite sad, you know. She couldn't lift her face up, you know. Then, you know, I felt shy. Felt really emotional and then feeling really guilty, you
know. I was very shocked. I was trembling all over. I couldn't say anything. I was at the verge of crying because I was 18 years old then, and because I was very young, I thought I was going to die.
That must have been very, very terrifying because you were pregnant at the time. Were you worried for your baby as well as yourself?
Yeah, I was scared that I was going to die, but then I was more concerned about my baby at the time than myself, because the baby was yet to be born. But then it was very grateful of the sisters to assure me that there are medications which can prevent transmission of disease to my unborn baby. So I was very relieved to hear that.
Were you angry with your husband?
I wasn't angry with my husband. What terrified me more was, you know, letting the people know, you know, the social stigma. And I was very terrified that people would come to know and outcast me.
Because that time I didn't have any HIV knowledge. The only thing I knew was HIV-AIDS is a deadly disease. HIV-AIDS is a killer. HIV-AIDS is a shameful disease. And many rumors were there in Bhutan, you know, in the past, that HIV-positive people should be burnt alive. They should be sealed on their thigh so that they can be recognized by other people. And all that remorse and that information I had in my heart, you know, with that information, firstly, I thought that I'm going to die now. Second thing came to me was, my God, what will happen if my parents knew about it? What will happen if my brothers and sisters, my community people, my friends, if they know about me, what will be their reaction? How they will consider me? What's the biggest fear?
When you left the hospital together, you must have been in a terrible state of shock. Tell me about that moment.
After we were discharged from the hospital, I was walking with my husband through the town, but I don't even remember whom I met or whether there were people or not. I was crying the whole time.
And when we were heading home that evening with that HIV positive result, my wife and me, on the way, we discussed that we will not share our HIV status with anyone, not even with your parents, and not with you, not even with my family or parents, anyone, and not even to our children. When they grew up, when they get married also, we're not going to share our HIV status.
Through the hospital, Wangda met other people living with HIV. He saw them battling with shame, social rejection and isolation. Part of the problem, as he saw it, was public ignorance about the disease. Because no one with the disease had ever been seen publicly, people imagined the worst. Then a TV advert in 2009 depicted a man with AIDS as a shadowy figure about to die. It ignited fear and panic. It also spurred Wangda into action.
They used to show, you know, a young gentleman wearing overcoat and then, you know, suit with black boot, you know, walking in the street, you know, at late night, alone. And suddenly he comes and sits on the chair. His face was not shown. And then as if he was giving message to the general population, he says, guys, beware of HIV AIDS. If you get HIV like me, AIDS like me, you're gonna disappear like me. Then he suddenly disappears from the chair, and then the question mark remains on the chair. And whenever my wife sees that, she used to cry and tells me that we're gonna die very soon. I'm very young, I'm gonna die. Then I thought, you know, it is not good, really perfect for me to hide myself. Now this is time for me to come out so that people of Bhutan are face to face with HIV positive people themselves.
Were you scared?
Of course. Even went to the extent of thinking that if the general population, you know, might stone me.
Stone you?
Yeah. Because of the past rumors, it was not really easy for me to come out. I've been thinking for almost 2 years, how should we come out? How should we talk to the people so that people understand us, so that people are convinced, so that the stigma and discriminations are reduced?
Wangda told his wife he wanted to go public with three other men on the 1st of January 2011. He suggested she come out too.
When my husband initially told me that he was going to go public, I was very angry with him. I was scared.
She would say that, please don't come out. If you come out, I'm going to leave you.
I was confused for about a month because I wasn't willing to come out. And then I didn't want him to come out because Bhutan is a very small society where everybody knows each other. And then most of the people know that I'm his wife. But ultimately he said that since there are other men also, and then I'm the only female, no, if I come out, then it means a source of motivation to other women as well.
Then when there was, you know, just 1 week to go for us in the media, then my wife, one fine night, she told me that she want to come out. So then I said that you should decide yourself. I can't decide, because you should be able to resist. You know, once you come out, people will look at you, people will discriminate at you, people will stare at you, people might talk, whatnot. You should expect, although it might not happen, but you should expect. And if you are able to tolerate that, well, it is a fantastic idea.
The decision I took was not solely based on my own thoughts. I had consulted my family, my relatives, and then they also said that I'm an illiterate woman. And then if I can do something good for the society, it's worth it.
When the King of Bhutan heard about their plans, he granted them a private audience. It was unimaginable, says Shering, that such a thing could happen.
Actually, it's very difficult to meet with His Majesty the King. And then while I was worried about my disease, I was also very thankful because very few people get to meet His Majesty the King. So he didn't make us feel outcasted or very ashamed about this disease. He basically talked about general things, how life is going on, and then the different types of diseases that are still out there, which are more dangerous than the ones we already got.
Then on the 1st of January, Wangda and Sharon and three other men took the plunge.
Yes, on 2011 in the morning I came out, you know, in front of our guests, Her Majesty, the Queen Mother, Sangye Chodin, yeah, and, you know, people from the lawmakers, you know, judiciaries, parliamentarians, including the opposition leaders and many other organizations, you know, including many other school children. There were almost, I think, 1,000 people, more than 1,000 people in the room.
After that was the public TV broadcast, when the whole nation would come to see Bhutan's first people living with HIV.
It was in a television. So five of us were seated and we were very worried, we were very anxious. Our heartbeats were getting faster, were thumping. If I had a second chance, I would have probably run away.
When they saw me in the TV, my friend, he told me that they were all in the bar when suddenly this show came out, you know, the very crowd, very busy, you know, bar, you know, turned into very pin drop silent, people paying attention to the channel. Not only to, you know, listen to what people, HIV positive people will talk about, but they are very much eager to see how HIV positive people look like.
What was the reaction of your friends and your family and publicly?
After we came out on the next day, you know, in the morning, I received a call from my father, you know. He told me that, son, I've been hearing a bad rumors about you in the village. What was it? That people are talking that you are living with AIDS. I said that whatever you heard the truth. And suddenly he was quite shocked. He couldn't speak in the phone for some time. Then after some time, you know, the old man talked. He told me that, son, I think I should take you to one of the hot springs in Bhutan. Yeah. Then I said that it is not the disease that can be cured by the hot springs. But fortunately, now we have a treatment available that can keep our, you know, HIV virus under control, and we can live a prolonged life. Please don't worry about me, yeah, and don't take too much stress. Yeah, my mother, she didn't call me, but sister, you know, opposite sex, yeah, they can't call me because HIV is transmitted through opposite sex. Yeah, unable to talk to me, you know, asking me directly. But I've been hearing that they talked, cried, and I also heard that many of my friends, they cried when they saw me in the TV.
So once you had come out in the public and then you had to walk out on the street, what was that moment like when you had to confront the public for real?
There is a difference when you come out in a television and when you go out and meet the people in public. I was very worried. I was very ashamed, actually. I wasn't able to speak. I was trembling. I couldn't even utter a word. The first price I had to pay for coming out in the public was I had to move out from my apartment. My house owners were illiterate. They were very old people. When I asked him that, what's the reason for making us move out? He said that, if you continue to live in this building, the other tenants will go away. And they are worried that, you know, even they might get HIV from you people.
What other repercussions were there?
It was more difficult for my daughter, my eldest daughter. She was studying in a school. She lost her friends because her friends accused her that, you know, since your parents already are detected with HIV, even you might be. And then we don't want to be friends with you. So she used to come home, cry, and then tell us that she doesn't want to go to school anymore. And then I told her that, no, it's more important to confront this issue rather than changing a school, running away from one place to another. I told her that there is no running away because one day or the other we have to face it, make people understand what this is, it was just a matter of time. She started to cope up pretty well.
Sharing's daughter is now 12 and doing well at school. I asked her what she remembered from that time.
It was difficult to me. The friend said to your father and mother have HIV. Don't talk to me. I will get HIV from your mouth and her hand, my friend said.
Oh, that must have been very hard.
I always cry, I don't have HIV, please don't tell that. I will not get HIV from father and mother because I know about HIV a little bit. HIV is only get when we are not using condom. If we get HIV, we will not die.
And how do you feel about your mummy and daddy now?
I feel proud and happy.
Since they came out, things have changed for Wangda and Shering. They now run LAXAM, an NGO which links people living with HIV and AIDS. It promotes awareness and has changed the lives of many. Since their own diagnosis, they've had two more children, both HIV negative.
Were you not very worried at that time that you would pass the virus to your children?
Yeah, I was quite worried, you know. But when my second baby was, you know, born HIV negative, then I got confidence that there's no chance of, you know, passing HIV virus to my third child.
And what about the doctors? I mean, did they advise you against having children or not?
They were quite against it. You know, they are quite, you know, afraid that, you know, one of the children might become HIV infected.
The doctor actually scolded us in front of so many people. He asked whether this pregnancy was a deliberate one or a mistake. I came out and then said that, no, it was a deliberate one. So the doctor said that, you know, after this baby, I'm going to operate you so that, you know, you don't have babies anymore.
How did you feel about that?
You know, when I was pregnant, I had already actually decided that, you know, after this, I don't want to have any more babies.
So you have four lovely, healthy children now. At home, do you have to take extra precautions with them to ensure that they don't become infected?
Although we sleep together, we eat together, we do almost everything together as a family, I make sure that whenever I have a cut or a wound, and also they also have, so I make sure that, you know, our bloods don't get transfused.
And tell me about your relationship with your husband. You have this bond, really, together. Has it made you closer as a couple?
Before we were detected with this disease, we used to quarrel, we used to fight, we used to have these differences. But after we were detected with HIV, in fact, we became more close. We know that we are each other's support. We are more considerate about each other. I don't remember fighting or even quarreling with each other after we were detected with this disease. In fact, we have become more closer than what we used to be.